This podcast is with Mark Dan. He's a CFI and proprietor of Beyond Extreme, a well-known school based in Church Stretton in Shropshire. He's just released a DVD for people who've just passed their CP, and in this podcast he offers some advice for new pilots. What's the name of your DVD?
It's called Let's Go Flying. Sort of an idea I've had for a while now is students, when they finish their course and they're sort of CP, club pilot, they always say to me, well, where's it going? Hey, Mark, it's a big world out there. It's like, you've been telling me what to do so far. You've been taking me to the site, you've been launching me, and now it's a big world out there. What happened? So we used to give them, you know, like bits of paper, a little booklet and contacts and things. We thought, no, let's do a DVD, which is just basically an interactive computer DVD, which gives them contacts for club coaches, site guide. We've dedicated the one that we've done to local areas like the Longmynd and North Wales because it's relevant to the people that are trained for us. But this would work with other maybe clubs and things in other areas. They do their own sort of similar DVD. But yeah, it's basically a DVD to give knowledge to people that just finished club pilot, all the information they need without having to sort of scatter around all the internet themselves or have to ring up people. Or so I think it works very well. When they leave a school, they've got the basics, what we teach them. You know, everyone says when everyone comes out of school, they're going to be absolutely perfect. We try and get them to a standard where we think they should be safe on their own. But this is only the first stages of their training, to be honest, when they finish, because as everyone knows, it's a big world out there after they finish paragliding. They need to just, like, digest what they've already learned, but then improve on everything. And what, like I said, I've done on this, the DVD, it's just to give them people that knowledge of where to go, get all the information they can then off people that have been flying, like club coaches that have been trained for the job, to give them that sort of helping hand for the next stages of their career or the next stages of their free flying in a safe environment. So when they leave school, I give them the basics, but by far they're going to learn a lot more from that stage on when they're on their own.
What kind of advice do you give them in terms of what skills they should practice when they leave the school?
The one that I always notice that people do is obviously ground handling. When they come out, especially training, I find I've been teaching in the UK for quite a while now, and the trouble is that you try and it's either flyable or it's not, and if it's not, it's too usually windy to go ground handling. Or if you know, when people do come and it's flyable, we need to get them flying as much as possible because you've only got a small window. So that the skills I think most people do need are a lot of ground handling practice when they leave the school. And also the knowledge is not just the flying, it's the side of being careful with the flying. So yeah, when they leave, it's the knowledge of being safe. I always find that when people turn to, when they go to sites after they've just finished the school, it's very easy to look at more advanced pilots and people that have actually been flying for a long time. And what they do, they interpret, yeah, it's flyable, let's go flying now because I can see someone else flying. A lot of people need to understand that when they leave the school that they may have a different grade of glider, it may be slower, it may be not as advanced as someone else who's been flying for maybe 10, 20 years. So that's a knowledge that is very difficult to teach and for someone to understand is when they leave the school, they need to know that their own limits of their capability to fly in. And like I said, that can only be learned from experience and that initial period where a lot of people are in a sort of an unsafe zone is when they look at others, they think, yeah, just because he's flying, I'm going to fly. And that's the critical part is where you need to get in touch with a club coach, someone whose experience can give you the knowledge, say, yeah or no, I think you should fly or not. But that's the sort of process of learning, isn't it? So I think that the understanding of everything is, don't rush into things. There's always another day for going flying. And learn just by actually standing and watching rather than just sort of sitting in the car reading the paper when it's not flyable. Learn off other people and you'll find it's much more safe to fly.
It must be kind of difficult for you though because you've spent all that time in school enthusing them about flying and making them all excited and then you're having to temper that enthusiasm by saying, yeah, you got your ticket and you're desperate to fly but, you know, hang on, you know, put the brakes on a bit and take it easy. So it must be quite difficult for you to have to kind of make that step of taking some of that enthusiasm away in to make them safe.
Yeah, but I think that the whole part is a safe thing. If people don't do that, they'll get put off in other ways. They'll have scary moments where they think, oh, this is horrible, I don't want to ever do this flying again. So it's a balance of just getting that rightness of still enjoying the sport and still being safe. And that's the critical point. I always think as well that, you know, when you had a really good flight, you really know about it and you remember it more. When you've had a bad flight, sometimes it knocks your confidence a bit. You're worrying about the next time you go out, are the conditions bad? Should I have done that? So, I always think, yeah, there's no rush for this sport. You know what the weather's like, obviously. Don't rush into it. If you can't fly one day and it's a bit borderline, make your own decision. No, I'm not going to fly now. I'll fly later when I feel happy. Get your wing gate on the front if you feel comfortable. And if you think it's been thrashed around and you're not happy, forget it and wait till it settles down. But then once it feels good and you feel like you're in control of your wing even before you go, then feel happy, you've assessed the conditions, you know it's in your capabilities, and then you can fly. And I think that's what you should do all the time, is not, again, I keep stressing this, don't rely on what other people are doing. You should know as a pilot, everyone individually, of what you do and take it from there. Thing is with a lot of pilots is there's a lot of knowledge out there as well. There's a lot of great knowledge of other people who are flying these sites, whether it's here or anywhere in the world. You get local knowledge from wherever you go. And people love this sport for what it is. I've trained thousands and thousands of people, and it's changed their lives. You know, they've met new people, they've met new friends, they've met new partners. It's incredible. And that's a whole other bit of the sport that is relevant to the paragliding. It's a whole spectrum of things that go on with the sport. So, and that's sometimes you have to make a bad decision, like I said, when you go to a site and you're not happy with the flying. You sometimes got to sit back and, you know, swallow a bit of pride maybe and say, look, okay, yeah, he's flying, but it's not good for me. I used to get a lot of pressure as an instructor, and I know a lot of other instructors that have the same sort of pressure. Not just it happens for students, but I get the same. People expect maybe it's a bit windy or it's a bit bad conditions. Oh, Mark will be all right because he's been flying a while. But I think the same as everyone else. You know, I'm not going to get pushed in because someone else wants me to. I have to sort of think my own judgment. No, I'm not going to fly. And I've done it many a times. I have to think exactly the same as a student. And I do, and I don't get pushed into something that someone else says, yeah, you'll be fine, yeah, I'm doing it, you'll be no problem. You've got to make that own decision yourself.
I remember when I trained to fly hang gliders, my instructor actually took us, if it wasn't flyable for us, we actually had to do hillcraft, as he called it, which was basically him going flying. But actually, he made us carry a slider up the hill and rig it for him, and we learned loads just doing that. But then, you know, he made us actually, he talked us through how he saw the day and, you know, what he was going to do, and we learned loads just by observing him flying. And it was, yeah. It's one of the things that actually stands out to me in my training, the stuff that I learned when I was standing on the ground. Yeah. And it was actually a really good way of kind of just getting a feel for what it's like to actually be a pilot rather than be a student. And, you know, I mean, lots of people said it was just an excuse for him to actually have a bit of a fly. But, you know, he didn't send us home and say, right, the day's canned. You know, he said there's still learning that you can do just by sitting on the ground and observing. And I thought that was brilliant.
That's exactly right, and that's how a lot of instructors work, I think, who've been in the game for a while. The wrong instructors are the ones that go off and start showing off and start doing stuff that is actually out of the league and out of the range of what they're trying to teach the students anyway. You need to, as an instructor, you need to basically show them what they may be capable of doing in them early stages, which is very important, maybe coming for a slope landing, maybe a top landing, controlled, do it properly. Not going out and doing mega manoeuvres where they're looking, yeah, it may look good, but in their early part of the career, that is going to be no use to them. And maybe a wrong reason, they might want to try and emulate what they're seeing of someone who has been in the game for a while. So you've got to make it, even though you may have a break and the instructor has a bit of a break at lunchtime or whatever, yeah, it's good to show what you can do, but you may have to stress that fact to them that this is an add-on in the future, not something we're trying to teach you and go from there. But yeah, you're right, you learn a lot more, the students are digesting stuff in just by watching, feeling what's going on. I actually get a lot of students, because sometimes we go out and you know what it's like, you go out, the forecast is great, you go on the hill and it's bad. But that's really good sometimes, because they're learning when it's not flyable. as well as when it is flyable. If I took them out every single day and it was flyable, they think, oh, this is great, it's always going to be like this. But you need to show them the knowledge of when it isn't flyable so they can gain up their own sort of individual sort of opinions of when it is good and when it is bad. So, you know, the whole thing is very important.
Can you give people some practical advice about how they're actually going to get the skills that they need to progress after their CP?
The main thing to do is, once you've done your CP, is get in touch with, I'm always about, when people have finished a CP, they can ring me, they can fly with me, they can fly around the same environment. Also get in touch with your clubs. You've got the Longman Club and also the North Worth Club, which are local, because obviously Derbyshire and all the others as well. If they live near to them, they can go to their local club, which is convenient for them. And in the club, they have their own structure, infrastructure of club coaches and experienced pilots. Someone that can give them the helping hand, a little bit of advice, a little bit of a calming sort of, yeah, I think this is good for you today, this is not, advice to help them throughout their early parts of their club pilot. Also, ground handling is very important. I think if you can go out somewhere and you can ground handle and ground handle and ground handle, you can't get enough of it. When you relate that back onto the hill, you'll be very calm even before you've gone to do your flight, because you'll be relaxed, and relaxed is very important. If you feel stressed out, the wind's thrashing about, on the launch, that'll feel the same as when you take off. You're already stressed, your head's not set onto the flight. So if you're calm before you go, you'll be calm for your flight as well. And it's a big thing now, you know. Just really practice your ground handling. With equipment, it's very important as well. Once you finish school, you should be either sold by myself or you've gone somewhere else. You'd be sold a wing that is relevant to you. You need to have a DHV1 or 1-2 if you're starting out. 1-2 at the most, DHV1 is obviously going to be a lot safer for them. And then you go through, you need a decent harness with good back protection, obviously very important, with a decent reserve, which is the right size. Okay, a lot of people get them too small. You need a right size reserve. You need a good speed system. Okay, just don't have a speed system that's fitted that's too long. When you need it, it's going to be no good. You need to maintain your equipment, make sure it's okay before you each flight. Just give it a quick check and inspection. And like I said, a full-face helmet is very good for when you start, and I find a lot of people get an open face, but just when you start, and it's nice to have full face protection, I think, on a helmet. And clothing as well, make sure you've got, even the clothing, if you get dragged, especially if you're going to abroad for the first time and it's a bit rocky and you've got your shorts on, you could get dragged on takeoff and rocks and things. So clothing is important. Footwear, make sure you've got good ankle protection. All things like that. Very simple things that can be done beforehand, which will make the whole process of the flight and the whole environment around it very safe.
One of the really important things that most people don't appreciate before they actually take up this sport is how much you actually need to learn about the weather. Do you give your students advice on weather, good weather sources, or do you sort of just tell them to watch the BBC forecast?
With weather, that, this is what I was saying about when people come out, sometimes it's bad weather. So I always think that the more experience you get of actually seeing weather and being out there and looking how it works is a lot better than looking at a book and then thinking how it relates. From a lot of people, their experiences of when they see like a front coming through, they see the weather change, is actually being on the hill and actually seeing it happen. But yeah, there's some great guidance notes you can get for weather. There's a lot of weather books that you can actually look at, and then as you go out you can see how it actually works. I think Dennis Pagan does some nice weather books, and also in the pilot handbook and places like that, you've got some weather sections. But that's just sometimes some people that are just starting will look at the book and it's all like, oh, what's all going on? I can see this picture in here, and why is it? So the best knowledge is actually going out with pilots who have been flying in these areas for a long time and actually talking to them and saying, well, I know for a fact in that certain area there may be a huge trigger point for a thermal. It's very, very rough there. Or actually you can see the sky in the distance on the horizon when it's like that. Okay, it's going to be very unstable. So I think that the knowledge from weather is actually being there, looking at the sky, understanding the basic principles of what you've already learned through the school, or you've learned through the internet or the books, but that then put it into practice by actually watching what's going on. And like I said, not just on the flyable days, on the non-flyable days, because then you can get a good picture of what's actually happened all in all. And there are some very good websites out there as well, like for guessing weather, like there's Exley Weather, which is done by a local pilot. There's also Wendy Windblows for actual weather on the hill. There's a lot of information out there when you want it, but like I said, it's like anything. You look at windsurfers, you look at surfers, you look at people who do other sports. It's just going out and feeling, having a basic picture of what the weather could be like, but going out and feeling and looking and understanding yourself by actually being there. I think paragliding is an amazing sport. I've seen people come and go. I've seen friends lost. I've seen friends gained in the sport. And I think that you always got to remember there's always another day with the sport. There's always tomorrow. There's always another. I always think the main thing with people is don't rush into, you've travelled a long way, travel 2 or 3 hours to get to a site, and you're desperate to fly. I think you've got to sometimes stand back and say, well, it's not flyable, I'll come back another day. Don't get rushed into flying just because you've travelled a long distance or you've had a bad week. You've got to do the sport because you love it. The reason I like the sport is because I'm still learning myself, I'm still developing new sights, and that's what I like out of the sport. You start off with paragliding, which is like take off from one hill, do some soaring land, or do cross-country or whatever. But the sport has much more to offer. There's new places throughout the world to fly. There's new sites which haven't been flown before. And that's what I like, is looking at a new mountain and thinking, well, can you fly that? Or, and if you make your own takeoff and you're flying, you've made it's like, I'm from a climbing background, it's like climbing a new route. And the power you get from that is unbelievable. But also, if people open their horizon with flying and not just stick to one pattern, it means that they can do lots of different things with the sport, and they're not going to get so frustrated. Like maybe it's a light wind day, you do a big mountain flight, or if it's a cross country day, you do a nice cross country. But you want to experiment in different things in sport to make it a wholesome sport, not just doing one thing and doing that, traveling a long way, and there's lots of things that you can do with this sport that I really like. And like I said, the main bit of advice I say is, don't always look at other people. Think for yourself. Always take care with everything you do. Make sure you check. It's easy not sometimes to be, even experienced flyers, to rig up and you maybe haven't got your carabiner done up properly. I've done it myself. The more you've been in the sport, you just whip your gear out and you haven't even checked sometimes, and you don't realise that you maybe unhooked a little bit, or you've got to really keep on the ball with everything, and the sport is there to be had for many years to come.